You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. We've got one of my absolute favorite humans in the world on National Women's Day. It's Stephanie Strange. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you for, you know, that introduction. Well, how you been? Actually, I know you asked me how I've been, but how have you been?
I've been good. I have been gearing up for my first paranormal convention I'm going to, so I'm super excited for that. I did go to, in fairness, I went to Haunt Atlanta like 3 years ago, but it was like a 2-hour thing, like just kind of dropped in, dropped out. But I'm going to the Oregon Ghost Conference. It's on the coast of Oregon, Seaside, I believe. I'm going to get to spend some time in Portland and Seattle as well. But I'm doing a live podcast from there. They asked me to come do that. And I'm also going to teach a class on like how to start a successful indie paranormal podcast. So yeah, I've never done any of that before. And it's something that like I have put out in the world. I feel like ever since day one of doing this podcast, like I want to be able to tour. I want to be able to do live shows. So yeah, it's really, really exciting.
I love that. Oh my God. Good. Congratulations. That sounds
exciting.
It's like a packed year.
Speaking of things that are going on, you are doing a podcast up again. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I started a podcast back in 2022, and it's called Getting Strange with Stephanie Strange. And I kind of try to morph in pop culture with like the paranormal and like my psychic, the metaphysical stuff side of myself. And I've done a couple of really fun episodes. The most recent one is, I asked the question, did Christopher Walken manifest Dune through music? I'm sure you know the music video by Fatboy Slim and Weapon of Choice. It won so many awards, too. It was really popular. I remember that.
Yeah, I actually watched your story on that you posted or your TikTok, and was super interesting. Like, you know, at first you're like, okay, what's Stephanie talking about? And then you're like, oh shit, this is like directly related to Dune. So yeah, I encourage our audience to go and check that out. Of course, I know many people in our audience know that Stephanie in the past has worked for BuzzFeed and something, why do I always want to say something spooky? And it also has also worked for something scary as well. So it's exciting to see you getting back into the podcast space. How often are you going to be releasing episodes?
So right now I'm definitely doing it once a week, but I want to do like strange Saturdays. So I talk about like supernatural and strange stuff, but then like my metaphysical Mondays where I talk more about the psychic stuff and have people come on and we get into all things metaphysical and supernatural.
I love that. Your branding is like one of my favorite. You know, we had you do a little series at one time on Real Hauntings, and it's so fun to play with this strange element with like titles and stuff. So kudos to you for that. I can't wait to jump back in and listen to everything you have going on. I'm sure our audience knows, but for those that aren't as familiar, Stephanie is really one of the better people. Not that there aren't good people in the paranormal space, but you know, she's not here to sell you things that she doesn't believe in. She's not here to convince you of things that are, you know, far out there. I feel like what you get with you are things that you're purely curious about, sharing your personal experiences and how those relate to kind of the topics at hand. And it's, yeah, it's been a pleasure to get to see you continue to grow in your space over the past couple of years that we've known each other. So,
oh, that's so sweet. Yeah.
I know that you have been doing kind of more hands-on psychic and medium work. Can you tell us about some of the investigations you've been doing lately?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So like when I told myself and my husband that like we should start doing things out here since we live in Los Angeles. And one of the things that I started doing was, well, we started doing, but like I say I because I've been doing this online, but now me and my husband get to do something together offline. So one of the things that we started working on was doing psychic development circles in at the Crooked Path in Burbank. And that shop, it's a metaphysical shop, has been around for quite some time. You can get all your witchy supplies there. And it's funny enough, so one of the owners, Sal, he is like a Black Dahlia expert. Like when you need a Black Dahlia expert, you call Sal, like no pun intended. But and he's also an occultist. He's a witch. And also the funny part about that, too, is that he's a really interesting guy. He's really quirky. I love him. He's so sweet. Maybe you should have him on your podcast.
Yeah,
I swear he's such an interesting person. He's also so his wife. Poppy, she told me that she feels like that place is haunted, that apparently one of the bookshelves fell. Like, so when you walk into the shop, it's the register, there's like stuff on your left side, and then if you go into the right, there's like this little corner area, and it's like, it looks like a bookstore from afar, but the closer you get in, it's all this collection of tarot, oracle cards, and there is books in that little area. But apparently one of the books flew off the shelf, and I think they might have had it on footage. And I'm like, you guys have to show me that footage. So whenever that happens, I'll share that with you. But yeah, so she's really excited that we're actually going to be doing a seance next month, and I'm going to be doing that, but with like equipment and everything too. So we're going to bring in like the paranormal equipment. We're going to have like a little circle going on, and it's one of my first seances that I've done here. Now, I've done seances with my mentor in Denver. And it's really interesting, like the spaces that we've been in. And of course, I did it on the Halloween special for the CW. Sure. And so I feel like seances are, everyone makes it feel like, or everyone makes it seem like it's very like big and theatrical, but really like you're just sitting in a circle in the dark and you're just feeling the energy. And it's like one of the coolest experiences ever.
I thought I saw on your social media, did you recently take a team into a house and do an investigation? I don't know if it was in that space, but where was that?
Yeah, so that was actually across the street from where I do. So this owner, her name is Amber, and her social media is Channeling with Amber. She's a medium, and she had opened up an oddity shop in Burbank, and it's like this cute striped house. And it's interesting because for many years, I've seen that house morph into different types of businesses. At one point, it was like this pink house that was like selling vintage clothing. It was also like a vintage store. It was like a lot of different things. And it was not in use for a while. It was just like this empty house waiting for somebody to, you know, put their business in. And so she turned it into like this like escape room, coffee shop, oddity shop. And I remember that, you know, when I first walked in there, it was me and another friend of mine. She's also a content creator. Her name is Pythian Priestess online. And she's like, do you want to do like this escape room? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like such a scaredy cat. So it's funny because I love paranormal stuff. I love going to haunted locations. Yes, that's my jam. But doing like haunted mazes and like those theatrical haunted things, I'm just not a fan. Like some of them I can handle. Like I've recently did the imaginary activation, and that was fun. We'll
Also, when
see.
you're a medium, life is kind of like an escape room. You never know what's going to invade your space, I would imagine, when
That's gonna
you're
be my headliner now. That's gonna be like my comeback. Like, look, I'm a medium. Life isn't scary.
You can put that on a t-shirt. I
Yes.
give you that IP. Have
Hulk on my tombstone.
it. Oh, man.
But it's funny because like, so I went with Ashley. That's her real name, but like her username is Pythian Priestess. So we went to this like the oddities place. It was called the Wish House, or it was called the Wish House. And we're gonna get to the why. So we went in there, and at the time it was in December. So she had like this story of the owner had the story of like Santa came down the chimney and killed his family, so you have to like get out of the house, right? It kind of reminded me like a Krampus almost. And so we're in there, and I'm like freaking out. I feel like I'm being watched. And so this is like my fault too, because I went in not prepared. I'm only human, right? But like I literally didn't come like thinking about like cleansing myself, protecting myself, or anything like that. And so like I'm in this space, and I feel like something is watching me. I'm like, okay, no, I'm actually scared, but I feel like something's watching me. And you know, like that meme where you see like this guy, he's like crying and he's in a bathtub, but he's acting like he's drowning in like the sea of water. That was me. That was me. I was like, something's watching me. And I'm sure I was annoying her because I was like freaking out. And then later we went to go get pho, and I said to her, you know, I really felt like I was being watched. I know, like, yes, I'm scared. I'm in this like escape room thing, but I really felt like something was watching me. I literally felt like there was a presence there. Like there was actually like something, like a spirit or something watching me. And she's like, well, did you know it's actually haunted? I'm like, what? Fast forward a couple of months after that fact, and I went in, I think at the end of January, February maybe, and I offered to be a reader at her oddity shop. So she's, as I said, she's a medium. She does readings, and she was doing them in her business, but then she also wanted other readers. So I went in there and I did a reading for her, and then we started talking about like how I felt there was a spirit, and I think it was like a masculine figure, like maybe a man. And she's like, yep, that sounds about right. He doesn't like people. And I was like, oh my God. So she shows me the spot where she feels his energy the most. So we walked in there, and it's like the oddity shop. So when you would walk into the house, it's the living room, or what used to be the living room, and then you go to the bathroom, and then next to the bathroom is like what I think would have been like the master bedroom or something. And so I'm in there, and like in the very far back corner, you could feel it. So then I brought in my equipment, I think like the following week. And it was me and my husband this time. We both went in together, and I brought my equipment. I was just doing like very light mini investigation, like just kind of testing things out. And our K2 meter kept going off in that corner. It'd only go off in that corner. We turned everything off. We unplugged things. We're testing it, because that's like the whole thing about like investigating, right? You want to do trial and error. Like, is it something that is plugged in with like running electricity that is making it go off? And every time, and we tried different K2 meters and stuff like that. So then, like after that, we proposed to do like a paranormal workshop. So the paranormal workshop entailed that, like in the living room, Amber would be doing like a meditation with the first group. And then in the back room where like the most activity happened, it was me and like a group of people in there. So that's the second group. And I didn't tell them, well, the second time we did it, I didn't really tell them anything. The first time I did. And it's interesting because people kept picking up the same things. And then in the third room, which is like where like the coffee shop was, Ashley had used her spirit board. So she made like her own spirit board. It's not a Ouija board, the same concept, but it's not like patent from the Ouija. She made her own. So it's like a spirit
Gotcha.
board. She was using that. And like later on, we were like talking about our experiences. And on the same night, we got that like one of the spirits wanted like food and wanted something. And we kept getting the word water in the Polterscript. And if people don't know what a Polterscript is, it's literally like receiving a text from a spirit. It generates words on the screen. The idea is that it's picking up the energy around and generating these words, right? So it was like we would get thirsty and water. Well, actually, no, we got water. And then little did we know that in the other room where Ashley was doing the spirit board, one of the spirits was saying that they like the water and that they're thankful for the water and like they want more water. So it's kind of cool how being guinea pigs, right? Like testing things out, if we could get anything similar. And for context too, I asked the owner, like, what was any weird paranormal activity there? So when they first had set up shop, they noticed like glitches with their electronics, even though like it worked fine, like there shouldn't be any glitches. At one point, I think she said something along the lines where the dolls' heads would turn in the escape room, like they would find it like in weird positions and stuff like that. I know one of the workers, she was a singer, and she would be singing in the back shop, and she always felt a presence. And then when I brought in my Poltergeist and she was there, that wasn't like the first things that generated it on the equipment was that he likes music and he likes the singing. I'm like, oh, so someone's here, a singer. And she's like, oh, that's me. I
I
sing
thought
all
you
the
were going
time.
to
I'm like,
say, I
well,
said, stop singing.
stop singing. He's just
Yeah.
like, stop singing then.
Please stop. Enough.
Please stop, for the
Every
love of God.
day, the same song.
For the love of God, stop. Yeah, so we were doing the paranormal workshop. So that was like the first time. The second time, Ashley couldn't come due to schedule conflicts. So we had Sapphire Sandalo, and she did divination with cards, and that was really cool. I think we're gonna do a live soon and just kind of like talk about that night and things that we got similar and not similar. But the second time we did it was really cool because Sapphire suggested that we don't tell the history to start. Like we let them guess and see what they pick up. And then at the end, we tell people the history of the house. So we did that. And I thought what was interesting is that two out of the three groups, I told them, I said, well, try to guess where the hot spot is in this room, or try to like walk around and see if you feel anything. And both times they're like, it's this corner. It's this, I feel something in this corner. And I was like, okay, yeah, try it. See what you get. And then they would like get some activity, or they would just say like, oh, no, I actually feel like there's something there. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's awesome, because you're right. So that's
Wow.
fun stuff about this project.
And the group that went with you, I mean, I'm assuming they were all interested in the paranormal. Were there people in that group that considered themselves psychics and mediums, or were they civilians, or like, what would you classify the how what was the dynamic of that those groups?
So the way it was is that we sold like, I think a total of like 15 to 20 tickets. 20 is just kind of like pushing it, but if there is people that really want to go and they're in a group, like we're like, okay, we'll budge, but 20 is definitely like absolutely. The first time we did it, there was somebody that was an investigator, and she doesn't use social media. She said she's mostly on Facebook, and it was her first time trying the Estes method. So we did that. And then I didn't know this until like, because I recorded all the whole sessions, like everyone coming in and out. Out of the 15, 20 people, they would get split up in groups of four. And we would spend like a lot of time in each station, and then we would rotate. And then, that was it. So it would take like about 2 hours. So this was really hands-on. And then that, I think there's also a reader. I didn't know that there were a reader until after the fact, which is cool. One of the owner's dad, apparently he is a medium, but he kind of goes, gosh, I forgot the actual term is right now, but basically like he's not like a medium where he channels, but he kind of like gets possessed. I know that's a scary key
What?
term. Yeah, I have it in footage, and I haven't posted it yet, but he basically like starts to reenact, and like it's like he kind of like it's like he it's like a transcends mediumship, I think is what it's called.
That's a real vibe in the group when somebody starts like reenacting a spirit. What was that like for you to witness?
Oh my God. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I didn't know who Amber's dad was. And so, like, she told me that, like, they both have different styles, and he had a near-death experience. And ever since this near-death experience, like, it's like he'll gasp. So here we were, and I dim the lights just to, like, set the mood and, like, get people to focus and try to feel the energy in the space. And in the camera, you can see, like, it wasn't pointed at him, but he's in the background. And this, when I was doing the Estes method, and if people don't know what the Estes method is, where like we literally take away all your senses, like deprive you of your senses. You're blindfolded, you're wearing noise, soundproof headphones. You can only hear the radio scanning through the radio frequencies. And so, like, we're doing the Estes method. So the camera is pointed at the person who is deprived of their senses. And in the background, he's like, and I'm like, wait. And I literally, like, you can hear in the camera, I'm like, should we stop? What's wrong with him? What's it? And then, like, because the group was with him the whole night, they're like, oh no, he does this. He's like now picking up the spirit. I'm like, are you sure? Is he okay? It was cool though, because he was picking up stuff, and I've never seen that. I've never seen like someone trans like get in a trance while they channel like that. So I was like, whoa, okay, well, that's cool, I guess.
That's really
But yeah,
different,
like,
yeah.
so when he started gasping like that, and I guess like reacting like that, he's like, the man doesn't want us talking anymore. We need to stop talking to him. He's getting so mad and da 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 da. And this was like the last group. So we were like almost at the very end of the workshop. And it's interesting because when I checked in with Ashley, apparently, like at that time, she felt like someone grab her arm. And it was the man. So, like, he w had grabbed her arm. And during the same time, we were in the room, and he's like, Amber's dad is like, stop. He's getting mad. And he's like gasping. And I'm like, whoa.
That's heavy. So, did you learn through that or from maybe her and her father any information about who the spirit was in their former life? Like, are they connected to that home? Why are they there? Do you know?
Yeah, so okay, so we checked with a historian. So I there is a local historian here who does like paranormal tours, and I would say he's more on like the skeptic side, which is good. Like I do appreciate that. Like I remember he messaged me, he's like, I don't really believe in equipment, so used to sermon. Like, no, I know. I know, like, so he gave me a whole list, a history of all these things. And so I picked up a man, and I picked up certain things prior to the workshop, and so did Amber, and we were checking in on that. And we were like, okay, well, we should check with a historian to see if what we're picking up resonates with whatever we get. And we did. So we kind of like pinned it down based on like before the workshop, picking up things on like guns, hunting, like a military energy, very, very grumpy, likes music. We were kind of picking up that he might have been one of the original owners. And when we got the list of the owners and people that lived there, basically the house might have been built in the 1920s. But if you look online, a lot of it says 1945, but the historian's like, well, the architecture definitely looks like 1910s, 1920s. But in 1942, a guy named Wayne Thomas, with the NRA lived there, and he quoted, Army ordnance officials have approved a National Rifle Association. So he looked through like the log of rifles and stuff like that. Really think it's this guy because it was the most active, and we would say the name. So the first time we did the workshop, when we would say Wayne and the name by that, use the name Wayne, we would get more activity with the equipment. And then of course, like Ashley is using the spirit board in the other room, and she's picking up things and stuff like that. So it just kind of gave us that confirmation that we needed. Plus, like before the workshop, like there was just things that we were picking up that like felt very much like that energy compared to like other owners that live there. Now there is an elderly woman that lives there too, or like spirit. I say lives there, but like I mean in spirit. an elderly woman too, and she's a lot more gentle and sweet, and she also likes men, which is so funny. We'll get to that too. So we think that he's there just because that's his home, that's what he felt proud of, and I think that's just where he just had the most like fond memories. Like whenever we asked him, are you stuck here? He's like, no. And then everything will go silent. Like he's very aggressive, and like you're asking he's very much like has this like personality, like you're asking stupid questions. So like, if you ask those questions, he'll say no, and then you won't get any activity. I don't know. Like that's what I see too. And it's interesting because then of course you had Amber's dad that's like, he's getting mad, stop asking these questions, da, da, da. And then of course, like then you have Ashley in the other room. The only person that did not get that vibe was actually Amber. And Amber is She's the owner. She spent many days there. So she's like, well, I spent a lot of time working with him, so he's very nice to me. Like the way she described him is like a different Wayne that like me and Ashley saw, which is so interesting. So yeah, we don't know. We just assume that it's because like he's just territorial of his home, and that's his home, and that's what
Sure.
he likes, and that's what he knows.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to walgreens.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You had mentioned that, I don't know if it was him that was mentioning water or another spirit or food, something about food. You've obviously been in the paranormal space for a while. You've done investigations. You've been on TV shows. You've worked for very popular companies. You know, you're a respected person in the industry. When you hear spirits talk about food and water, like necessities is what I would call it. And when I think of the spiritual plane, I think of a very non-necessity plane, you know, your spirit, your energy, you know, whatever is happening. What's your belief with a spirit talking about that kind of stuff? Is it just, they just have a special connection to a moment that they're talking about, or why would a spirit even bring up food and water?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, and like offerings and giving offerings to spirits have been around for centuries.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Like you think of like Day of the Dead as an example, like, or even like when in Japan too, like it's common that you go visit your deceased loved ones and you do like picnic and you like, you bring these like very high energies. So the way that I see it is that when you like food is a form of offering, and I know that might be like a key word that people are like, oh my God, an offering. It's not like anything bad, but it's a way of them remembering life, and like it's a way of honoring the joys of life. And you know, I remember seeing this one person on TikTok say this, and I love that she used this example, like her haunted dolls like lemons. And we're like, ew, lemons, because like biting into that's very acidic. Yeah. And for them, though, it's like they, especially for spirits that are earthbound or they want to be earthbound or they're still here and they don't feel anything, they get to experience those emotions and that moment with you. Mm. So it's I don't want to use the word possess because like people associate that word with like demonic possessions, but spirits can feel those emotions with you in a very similar concept. So when you're, you know, offering food or anything like that, that's what it is. So it's like, cool, I'll talk to you. I don't have no obligation to talk to you. I have other things to do, but okay. If you're giving me like a cigarette or drinks or something, sure, I'll bite. Like I want to see you take a sip of that, or I want to see you bite. You know,
it's interesting. So it's
that exchange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing I could think, the only way I can think to relate to that as a human person, I sound like an AI robot. You know how sometimes like you'll catch a smell, or I mean, essentially sense memories that take you Like for me, there's a certain smell of like the ocean and beach that I may catch sometimes in like a candle or, wherever. And I grew up going, some of my best memories with my family as a child is us making our yearly trips to the beach, and it'll hit me so hard in that moment. It's like for that flash, I can hear the waves, I can feel the sand, I can smell it. It's so real. It's very short, very temporary, but that's I wonder if it is something like that where they get those kind of like brief blast of experiencing
Yeah.
what we're experiencing.
You just used a really good example, the Haunted Mansion that came out. And did you get a chance to watch
I haven't
that
yet.
movie?
It's on my to-do
Okay.
list, so yeah.
Okay, so I won't spoil it, but I'm gonna bring up there is a spirit that requests to be brought to the ocean.
Oh, okay.
And because he is a sailor, or like that's how he sees himself, and so he wants to be brought back to the sea, and so that's what they do. And so it's just interesting because you just said something like, "What would make you happy, right? Like if you could relive, if you were to hypothetically be dead right now, and what would be something that would give you peace or the joys or remembrance of life?" That's it. And so I think like, that's why people also do like candles too. I know candles are also just protection in general,
Sure.
but scents are great too. Sometimes it's scents, it's places, it's things, like again, any type of offering for a spirit to give them that joy. Because it's again, like they don't owe you anything. Again, they're just literally like, remember this, like we're the spirit living the human experience right now. It's not the other way around. And so when we're not wearing this suit, it's like, well, why do I want to talk to this person yelling at me? Why do I want to talk to this? Like, what's in it for me? And so you gotta think, that's how I see
I just imagine the spirit being like, "Where are my TikTok views? This is bullshit."
it.
Yeah, it's I don't know why you just made me think about this or talking about the offerings and sense memories and all that stuff. I don't know if you experience this in life, but there are certain things that you are drawn to and you can't really explain why. Like for me, it's so dorky and embarrassing, but it's sea shanties. Like I can listen to some sea shanties, and they will hit me on an emotional level sometimes that like I'll literally want to like cry while I'm listening to them. Because a lot of them are, they're a cappella usually. They're story driven, which is what I love anyway in music. But a lot of them are, about tragedy and stuff at sea or war or whatever. But yeah, I don't know why. There's something about those that just I and also my ADD brain will like overly obsess about a song sometimes. So I'll listen to like the same song like until I'm literally sick of it. And there's one called, I think it's Bones in the Ocean, that just I've listened to that song probably like 200 times. I don't know why. And then I started thinking about it, I was like, well, I know my uncle was in the Navy. I have another relative that was in the Navy. I was like, I kind of want to go look at the genealogy and see, like, is there a history of people in boats in my family? Like, what is happening?
That's cool. Yeah, you should look into that. Well, and this is another thing too. So you just reminded me of another moment that we had in the second round of the workshop that we did at the Wish House. The spirit Wayne, because he loves music, he asked for us to play a song. So I just like took a guess, like I just played a song from like that time period, and stuff started going off. So yeah, I mean, sometimes, like I said, all it takes is just to give that spirit a little joy. And you get some interaction.
Have you had any moments recently that have scared you a little bit with the supernatural?
I went to the Queen Mary back in October. I haven't posted any footage on it, but I was thinking of maybe like, doing that too, like a story time on that. So right now, if you are in California or the Los Angeles area, you're planning on visiting out here, the Grey Ghost Project, that's the group right now that is only allowed to investigate the Queen Mary. They're like the only one. You can do a guided investigation with them, but you don't get to have the ship in certain parts of the ship to yourself. You have to be part of like under their guidance, which is fine, like makes sense. So my husband and I went and we got tickets and we did like a guided investigation. And normally those can be like a large group of people. So we had a pretty good amount. Oh my gosh, my cat ball is going off. This has been going off. So I can tell you a story time on this also
Is that
that will be
haunted
short.
too?
I'm starting to think it is. And I haven't really talked about it either. But I will get to this and then I'll finish the Queen Mary thing. Okay, so we went and then there's that one part of the ship where they used to keep like prisoners, captives, and that place always has like very dark, heavy energy. I use Oracle cards to like pick up what was going on, and literally everything that like the guide was saying, the history, everything. The card, like I always say, the cards don't lie. It literally matched exactly like what was being told in that room.
Oh my
And
God.
like we were getting cards that the spirit felt trapped and sadness and anger. And I'm like, wow, this is literally matching exactly.
That's
It
wild.
wasn't like scary, but it's uncomfortable. Like that was really uncomfortable. That's like one of the most uncomfortable spaces for me personally. And I even like told the guide, I said, look, the last time I was here was I think like 5, 6 years ago. And when we passed, so it's not even that room. It's like I think like next to it. I said to her, I feel like there's something like very much not human in this part of the ship. It's uncomfortable. It's not scary, but it's definitely like something not to be messed with. And she's like, yep, you're right. I'm like, okay, cool. It's just, yeah, it's really weird energy. So I don't know if people get to go on that tour, like, you know, they can let you know what they think of that part of the ship
You've
because
been
it is
warned. Yeah.
even warned. And we
Yeah.
got access to the pool. Wait, there's like a urban legend. It's not confirmed about like this little girl that drowned in the pool at the Queen Mary. But yeah, so that essentially like something that was uncomfortable. But because this was going off, the little cat ball. For those that are not familiar, cat balls are used during paranormal investigations. So it detects movement, motion, anything touching it. So, because we've seen those toys where, like, when your cat's touching it, it lights off, the little ball lights up. And so I have it here on the shelf, and I'm not touching. There is some good space. I'm not touching the shelves or anything. You saw me. I wasn't like touching anything. So, okay, this has been happening this week. So I did a cleansing on it. I banished anything evil. I banished all that. I didn't do anything. I didn't say spirit go away, but I banished anything unwanted. I neutralized it. I did all the stuff. And for the, I feel good. You know, I can sleep at night. I don't feel like weird. I don't feel anything watching me. So one of my hobbies is that as a medium, I like to go to estate sales because I like feeling the energy there. I love antiques. And the other thing too is just like I'm very nosy and I like seeing like the layout of
I'm the same
houses.
way. Dude, I will just get on Facebook Marketplace and just scroll through people's shit, like looking in their garbages. And I don't even buy anything. I'm just like, this is... anyway, yes, I
And
relate.
plus also it's like, you know, I literally live in LA County. This is a playground of estate sales. You have to
Oh,
go. Like
yeah.
you just have to, you know what I mean? So, okay, so I went to this estate sale this was not planned. As a matter of fact, it was like not far from my neighborhood. And I saw it like the little sign. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna check it out. So we get there, and as I walk in there, I did feel like immense sadness. And we're gonna explain the why here in a second. So I felt immense sadness. Now, yes, anyone can say, oh my God, it's a state sale. Sometimes it's death. Obviously, you're gonna feel sadness, obviously, right? But
Sure.
here's the thing. I think I've like done these enough that like I can like set a barrier and ground myself that I don't always feel that anymore, or like I can feel it, but I don't associate it that deeply because I know already, if that makes sense. So anyway, so here I'm feeling immense sadness. I'm like, oh, so weird. So we're walking through like the garage, we walk into the kitchen and all this stuff, and they have like little cool stuff. Like I actually bought myself a table, I forget what they're called, but it's where there's the record player in the table. You have to like slide it open, and it
Oh,
works,
yeah.
and most of the time they don't work. So I'm gonna like, you know, do a whole
It's awesome. Yeah.
Paint job on and everything on it. So I went to the estate sale and I got that table. But then it's so interesting. Something was calling my attention in the garage. So I went to the garage and I found this. And the weird part is, so I have let me show you the box. So I have the box here. This was like covered in like cowwebs. And I'm like a princess when it comes to bugs. So I saw this and you can see how it's like ripped apart and everything. So I saw the back and someone took the board out and like threw it in the very far back underneath all this junk. But I saw this, I'm like, it's empty. And I almost like left it, but something kept telling me to go back. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll go back. And then I like started digging. Like I literally like bend down and was like pulling through all this stuff. And then I found it. I found the freaking board. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'm taking it. And I know people are gonna watch me and be freaked out, but that's okay. So I immediately did a cleanse on it. I feel fine. But this week, so I've had this board now for I think like 2 weeks now, I think. And so for 2 days in a row, I have, so on the ceiling here, you can't see it, but on the ceiling, I have like these plushies. I'm like a Hello Kitty person. So I have plushies and I have like Pokemon plushies and stuff that I just don't have the heart to get rid of. So they're there on the wall. And I've had this up for like 2 years now at this point. Okay. And they've been full of plushies. So one day I walked in here and the one closest to the door, all of them were just dumped out. And the net, because it's one of those nets that you have, like, let me see if I can show you, like the net. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So not only were all the plushies thrown off, but the net was like, it's almost like someone pushed it out, if that makes sense. And mm-hmm. it was like wrapped. And I'm like, that's weird. And I was trying to be like logical. I was like, okay, well, it's just the wind. And my husband's like, well, if it's the wind, then why didn't nothing close to the window fly off? And I was like, I guess, yeah, you're right. And so anyway, so we put everything back in. So then the following day, and it was like, as I did all this too, I said out loud in this room, I said, y'all better not be messing with my plushies. Stop. So then like the next day, there was one that was on the floor. Not the rest, just one was on the floor. I was like, you are messing with me. I'm about to seal this room up if you keep it up. And so I said that, and then nothing's happened since then.
Something else I wanted to touch on before we wrap up. I saw that you had mentioned that somebody came in to get a reading, an older couple, and something actually took place that bothered you a little bit. Can you tell us about that?
So this elderly couple, and I felt so by my heart. So I had a psychic. They don't do mediumship stuff, but I think from what I understood, they're a psychic and they don't really touch mediumship stuff. And that's fine. You know, like, kudos to them. You know, like, I'd rather have that than someone like, well, I can do both, or I'm just this. It's just very like, I don't know, weird. So anyway, they told me that this couple really needed help and that they believe that they had spiritual attachments. And I personally think that spiritual attachments is incredibly rare. It's so rare. It not to say that it doesn't happen, but it's rare. I'm going to sound like harsh, but I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just simply saying like there's so much fear basing and the media has fear based like ghosts and spirits already as it is that like there's nothing if they're attached to like a home as an example. What is so special about you that over exceeds their home that they're so attached to? Why would they follow you? They just met you. What about you is so special? And I don't mean that to be harsh. I mean that like, let's stop for a second. And people can also manifest their own hauntings too. So that being said, like when they said that, I was like, oh my God, please no. I hope it's not what I think it is. So I set up like a meet with them and you know, I didn't meet them in real life. I met them actually over Google Meetup because they live in the mountains. And I just it felt so bad because I'm like, I don't want to waste their time. I just want to talk to them real quick and like reassess what needs to be done. And so they had said that someone had told them that there was 12 spirits attached to them. And this poor elderly lady, like she's telling me that she feels something tugging her hair. She feels like her stomach being tickled. And I'm like, okay, well, let me pull some cards. I was already channeling her without the cards and I was getting confirmation there, but I pulled out some cards because I like to have double confirmation too. And so the cards were pretty much aligned with like what she was saying, what I was saying in terms of like, there's a male spirit in your home. He does talk to you. You do. Cause I think everyone has a level of intuitiveness. That's another thing about me too. Like, I'm never going to be like, I was born with these gifts. I'm gifted. I'm the chosen one. Like, I'm never going to do that. I feel like everyone's intuitive. That's like a whole other podcast in itself.
Stephanie Strange, the chosen one.
Exactly. You know, but you know what I mean though? You've definitely met those handful of people that are like, I was chosen with these gifts. And it's like, good for you, but like everyone. Anyway, that's a whole different podcast for itself. But anyway, so I'm just like telling her, I'm like, look, you're a sensitive person. You can pick up the energies around you more so than your husband. And that's why. And then like, it's interesting because I was saying these other things. And then like her husband was confirming like, yep, she's done this. Yep. Like he's like speaking on her behalf. Like, yep, yep. Like she is. So anyway, so I said, look, I don't think there's like 12 spirits attached to you. I think that you are you're so empathic that you're picking up other people's energies. And that's the thing about people and why I do what I do. It's like, I want to empower people that we all feel energy in different ways. And it's not like 12 spirits attached to you. It's the way that you perceive and navigate energy in this reality. So I said to her, look, like, I feel like you're an empath. I feel like you take on so much energy from other people. There's so much energies thrown at you from other people that you take on and you don't release it. And so that feels very intense. And so like what we need to do is just like give you some meditation exercises, like clearing your boundaries, like just energy. It's basically an energy cleanse. I do feel like the cards do say that there is a man. I felt the man too. And you just said there is a man. And I was like, so what I could do for you is a house cleansing. So I'm going to go to her house and do a house cleansing. And, you know, like just give her, try to empower her, like, look, you got this. You're not being attacked by 12 spirits. So it's sad because I just, you know, I know that I sound kind of harsh when I say this, and I'm not trying to come from that place. I'm coming from a place of protecting people from frauds and kind of giving people this very sensationalized view of mediumship or witchcraft or whatever you want to call this. It's, there is no chosen one. We're not Harry Potter. We're not the craft. Like, there is no chosen one. Like, everyone, like, I kid you, like, every culture around the world has dealt with magic, divination for thousands of years.
Can I at least be a Slytherin if I can't be Harry Potter?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I'll be a Ravenclaw.
Thanks. Yeah, it is unfortunate, really, how easy people can be taken advantage of within the field of supernatural, especially if they already feel like they're having something out of the ordinary,
yeah,
something strange happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that are in this field purely for profit, and they may have some tools, they may have some gifts. Probably their real gift is reading people and preying on their insecurities and just the uncertainty of life. I mean, look, there's, and I imagine most people feel like this, especially going through the pandemic. I mean, there are times that we can all get pretty low and look for answers everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of people out there going, I have the answer for you. And used to, they'd be on TV at like midnight selling you OxyClean or whatever. But on TikTok now or wherever, you can find people like that fairly regularly. So people get kind of sucked into the cult of personality. So I thought it was interesting hearing you talk about that, how you kind of experienced that firsthand and you were able to kind of hopefully give her, even though you may not be able to like ward off this man spirit or this masculine spirit in the home, you're at least maybe able to give her some peace of mind of like, hey, there's not an orgy of spirits circling around you at all time, because that's really intense. The idea of 12 spirits just like swarming around you, that's pretty wild.
And they look to be like 80 plus years old too. So like that was another thing that like, I just felt immense guilt. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to charge you for all of these things. This is ridiculous. I feel so sorry that this happened. And that's part of my frustration. And like, you know, kind of going back on what I said, like there is no chosen one. What I'm trying to say with that is that like, yes, like, for example, everyone can learn to play the piano, but not everyone's going to be like a Mozart or, you know, like, so I don't think it's Mozart for his name, but like, you know what I mean? Like, no one's going to be like this musician.
Beethoven, that, is that what you're looking for?
They're Beethoven. Thank you. Beethoven. Not everyone's Beethoven. And I'll be honest, I can only count maybe like less than five people, like the palm of my hand, people that really practiced owning in on their intuition for more than a year before saying that they are a medium. I'm not saying everyone has to do my way, but it used to be like this where people would practice for years before going out on the field and saying these things.
Have you ever been and witnessed a coven of witches? People all, and I'm not trying to dramatize this for the podcast, but people all acting together under one ideal of witchcraft? Because I mean, like most, and the reason I ask this, because most of the guests I have on who consider themselves as a participant of the occult and talk about witchcraft and, you know, things like that, they usually just say, well, I just do this stuff on myself. You know, I'm a coven of one. Have you ever witnessed in LA, like, have you been invited to where it's 5-10 people all doing whatever that entails?
Even now, covens are supposed to be a secret. So even if like someone was part of a coven, they're not supposed to say, at least from what I understood, they're not supposed to say that. Now, do I know places where covens partake? Yes. I just don't know like members from those covens. And I think it's just mostly just like keeping that tradition and, you know, Because again, a coven is a secret back then. If you tell people you're a witch and you are a coven, you'd be killed. So, I mean, that's my guess. I don't know 1,000%, but I have heard of people also using like witchcraft as an aesthetic. Here's my take. I think while I said all these things and I was very much traditional in that viewpoint from what I've learned and what I know, it's fine if people want to learn about something. And when you're beginning something, you're not going to be like a pro. So as long as the intention is there that you want to learn and seek to understand and that like you're not coming from a place of I'm ego, I'm the chosen one, then cool, more power to you. Like cool that the aesthetic got you into it. That's fine. But are you willing to now take the time to learn about the roots of this?
Stephanie, what if you are the chosen one? What if you are our Neo?
So I don't think well, I'm not Harry, I'm Luna.
Yeah, well, Luna was always my favorite anyway. I thought she was the coolest out of all of them.
Same.
So on that note, I would love for the audience to know what all you have going on. It's clear that you're pretty busy. You're staying active. If they want to follow along with all your adventures, if they want to listen to your podcast, what is the best way for them to do that?
So I am on literally everything at this point. Instagram is one of my big focuses right now. So Stephanie_Strange, STEFFANY. I'm also on TikTok and YouTube, Snapchat, podcasting. I'm doing it all. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, audience, make sure you give Stephanie some love. Check out everything she's got going on. Make sure you rate and review her podcast. Whatever we can do to help you, we're always here. And I appreciate you coming on with me tonight. I, at the beginning, before we jumped on, I told you I threw my back out Saturday, lifting my kid up. And yeah, this week's been hard going. So it was a breath of fresh air to have this hour of just getting to hang out with a friend and share some delightful spookiness with the audience. Yeah. And audience, if you want to check me out, I'm going to be at the Oregon Ghost Conference. That sounds weird. I'm not going to be on display like in a glass box, but I'm going to be at the Oregon Ghost Conference, March the 22nd through the 24th. I'm going to be doing a live Real Hauntings podcast with pretty effing spooky Amanda. She's going to be at the conference as well. We're going to interview people from the audience, share some of our stories. It should be a lot of fun. And then that next day on the 23rd, I'm going to be teaching a class to show you how to start your own podcast. And you can avoid some of the mistakes I made. Yeah. Trust me, I have a lot of shortcuts 4 years in that can help you out. So if that's something you're interested in, go to the OregonGhostConference.com. There'll also be a link in the bio. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm Stephanie Strange.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.